Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God, you know what I'm going to say, is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love Him. And He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Now those who take God at His word and trust Him, they will be in the know. They won't be taken by surprise. His return is soon, it's imminent. When He comes back, those who are looking for Him are prepared. Now, John taught us that when we're looking for the Lord, we purify ourselves. You know, when you know that the Lord's about to return, you don't want Him to come back and you're doing something off color. You don't want Him to come back and you happen to be in strife in the middle of a heated argument with your spouse or with your friends. You don't want Him to come back and you're doing things that's just not right. You're taking what don't belong to you. Doing worldly things. And you know, I think about the concepts that Jesus taught. All the truths of His word. They are alive. The word of God is alive. And when we do what the word say do, we become clean. Jesus told His own disciples, even before He died for them, He said, "Now you are clean because of my word." And Jesus, they were with Jesus. They were strengthened by it. They had His word to govern their heart. But when He died, He washed our sins away. He suffered for us. And He died so that we could live again. And He died for us not only so we can live forever. Sometimes that's all people think about, living forever. No. He died so that you could be in right standings with God. You can be without sin before your Father. So it's a serious offense to go back to a way of sin and live in sin after you believed on Jesus Christ. He didn't save us so that we can live like Satan. He saved us so we can live like he does. And His word helps us to have the same success that He has. And as we yield our heart to Him, we'll know what to watch out for. Now, the last broadcast I was sharing how when you do God's word, even when you don't understand it, when you act on it, when you do it, when you perform it, you learn things from the Lord you can't learn any other way. You learn to appreciate the living word of God. You learn why He said do things a certain way. Why He said turn the other cheek. Why He said love others as you the same way you want to be loved. And I always talk about what Peter said. Peter said love everybody like Jesus loved you. The same way Jesus loves you, you love everybody with that kind of love. See, we're as He is, so are we in this world, in this earth. And we need to operate like it. That's why He saved us. He didn't save us so that we could do wrong and live a fraudulent life. But as we go forward in Him, we will do all that's in His heart. And we'll have the understanding to go with it. Now, recently I was talking about how those who love God and walk with Him, they learn things that others may not see. And it's a wonderful thing to hear God out and do what He say do. As much as I draw near to Him, as much as I say I want to believe Him and do His word, when I first started out, as I was first beginning to get to know God, I would always find a scripture and say, wait a minute, I got to do that. And something stood out and I had to work on it to come up to the standard of the word. And I had read about making a vow. You don't just make a vow to God. And the word of God tell you it's better not to make a vow and not keep it than to make one. The angels don't understand. You know, they don't want to hear that you didn't perform this vow. You said you would perform it to the Lord, and then you go back and not do it. That's not good. And I don't want to tell God I'll do something and then don't do it. And I hope that I obeyed everything he wanted. I certainly want to. And I'm cautious against making vows. I can have all the best intentions, but some things it'll take the word of God in your heart to be in full agreement with. Now, because I made a vow, I learned more from the Lord. Now, I know for a fact, some of the things that the Lord told me to do, I would have been like others and not done it. But because I made a vow back in 1988 that I would obey him, I made myself do some things that he told me to do. Now, when you want something and the Lord tell you about something that you want, you have no problem hearing him. You even remember what he said. It's dear to you. You jump up and down and you praise God and you thank him for it and you stand on the word and it happens. Just like he said. And some people, they jump up and down, they glad, and then they let the enemy come in and get them in doubt, and they don't. But when God says something that you want, and just like he says things that I wanted, I'd rejoice and jump up and down, and I'd be happy. But I acted like I heard him because he said something that I wanted. Now, when he tells me to do something that's necessary, that he wants, or that's just necessary, why can't I act the same way? When he gives me a message, I can feel that message. I can sense it more powerfully than if he promised me something I was greatly after. So, for this reason, we need to know that when he's speaking, he's speaking. And we need to honor him just like it was something that we desire. Now, when God brings something to you and say, do it, it's very important that you do it. So I started yielding to the Lord. Now, he told me to do something. He tell me to do something. And I wasn't all fired up and excited about doing it. You know, the rich young ruler didn't want to go sell all he had and give to the poor and go follow Jesus. He didn't want to do that. He walked away sad. Now, he heard what Jesus said. That's why he walked away sad. He walked away sad because he heard what Jesus said. So when the Lord tell you to do something, if he didn't say it, you wouldn't walk away sad. Or you wouldn't feel like you didn't want to do it. Or try to figure out some excuse. Some lame excuse. You know when the Lord say do something, and I do too. When he called me to the ministry in the first place, he said, behold, you are my child. I have chosen you, and you should be a vessel of honor. Now this is way back in 1987. And I can still remember word for word what he said. And I didn't ask to be a preacher. I didn't want to be a preacher. And my thoughts about it was not like they are now. I'm like, what am I going to do, Lord? Where am I going to go? How am I going to do it? What do I do? He said, follow me. And I had got up and went in the living room praying and asking him all my questions. When he said, follow me, I just went and got back in the bed. Ain't nothing, I'm a preacher now. I couldn't go back to not being a preacher. I had my life all planned out. I had goals and dreams. And now I'm a preacher, but he won't tell me how to do it. I don't even know what I've gotten myself into or what he's got me into. I didn't know how it would be. And I used to work the soundboard at church back in those days. And after he had called me to the ministry, and I couldn't get away from it, I accepted it, I received it. I said, well, I got to do this. And it's important. And I was not interested in being a preacher until he gave me what to say. That's the day I got interested. And whenever he give me a word, I want to preach it. That word wants to be preached. Because that word is alive. And that word belongs to people. It's somebody else's property. And it wants to do its job. So, I said, well, I got interested. But I was working the sound one Sunday, just working the soundboard like I always did, recording the message. And we didn't have long cables, so the soundboard was near the front of the pulpit. Everybody could see me sitting there working the soundboard. When the choir got through singing, I recorded. And when the preacher got through preaching, as he was preaching, I recorded. And then I'd stop the tape when he was done, and then I'd make a cassette copy, because we recorded it on reel-to-reel, then we transferred it to cassette tape so people could buy it. But Elder Lewis wanted it to be recorded on reel-to-reel because the quality is higher and it'll last longer. Anyway, I was working the soundboard one day, and I just imagined how my life would go. I said, well, I'll probably end up being a pastor in some small town somewhere like my dad. And immediately the Lord spoke to me and said, it won't be like you think. Now I don't know how to imagine how my ministry would go. So some years went by. Things happened. I drew near to the Lord. I talked about how I wanted to learn how to live in God's presence wherever I am. You know, just keep that thought in mind. And I still had that prayer up before the Lord, and my faith was on about it. I didn't know, I was still learning about how to live in His presence. Like, I wanted my life to be, my relationship with the Lord to be strong, and I wanted to feel invincible just like I do when I'm in prayer. But I wanted it to be this way wherever I was, whether I was at work or wherever I went. I wanted to feel the presence of the Lord, and I wanted to feel just as mighty as I am in His presence wherever I go. Whether I go to work, school, or on job sites, wherever I am, I want to be in God's presence. And now that prayer was up before the Lord, and my faith was on. And I had a business back then, a mobile auto service, and you can just imagine the problems you can run into with a mobile auto service, because cars are not always easy to fix. Sometimes the bolts will seize up and you can't get them out, and then they break. Now the sun's going down and you got to get a broken bolt out before you can finish and get paid and go home. So you can imagine all the problems I had. And some people would pay you, and some tried to skate on you. You know, that means they try to get out of paying you all of your money or any of your money after you've worked all day in that heat or in the cold weather to fix their car. So I had trouble. I had problems. But I thank God most people did pay me. But I still had problems, and I asked the Lord about them one day. And then he gave me an answer to my greater problems. And I said, I rejoiced. And I said, wait a minute, Lord, you knew I needed to know this months ago. I thought of all the times if I had that information that he had given me then, the things I could have done better. And then he said something that totally changed my life. He said, everlasting love. No, that's another story. He said, a man can't learn the ways of... If he said, when a man leans to it, I get it right in a minute. He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn the ways of the Father. When a man leans to his own ways, he cannot learn the ways of the Father. So now, I rejoiced. And now, I was so happy to learn what I learned, and now I knew why I didn't, I knew how to learn things. And I couldn't learn that before because I wouldn't ask. I kept trusting my own wisdom and my own thoughts and the way I do things. And it's easy to do that. And I got to thinking, I said, what else am I missing out on? So I said, Lord, you know what? Whatever you say do, I'm going to do it. I said this because he had just freshly told me, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn the ways of the Father. And I knew that I had just asked the Lord an answer that's going to put me over. It's going to take me to the next step of life. It's going to help me have the God kind of success in my life in real time. And I got excited. So I said, I was positioning myself to yield. I said, Lord, I'm going to do this. Whatever you say do, I'm going to do it. Whether I love it or hate it or whether I like it or not, I'm going to obey you. Now that's a vow. And I meant it. Because for once I didn't trust myself anymore. I saw where my wisdom would get me, and it's not that far. And I wanted his wisdom and more of it. So I made a vow, and the Lord didn't forget it. So I kept drawing near to the Lord, kept learning, kept getting understanding, kept finding out things, kept on keeping on, kept going forward. And the Lord kept moving in my life. And then I learned many things. And then the Lord gave me this dream. I dreamt that I was at work. And he used the boss that I had, that I looked up to, that I admired and respected. I respected this boss. Now he tell you right up front what he wants you to do. He meant he wanted you to do it. And I, you know, he was the kind of boss that you could respect. And he wouldn't do dumb things. He would do what's necessary. And his guidance was always good. His name was Richard Long. And now I liked him and I respected him. I greatly respected this boss. And we were working at like a steel plant, but outside. And he used my boss. Richard walked up and said, and other ministers was out there working too. Elder Lewis and Steve Glover, they were out there on the field working, and we were all working together. And Richard walked up to me and said, I want you to work in the office. After lunch, you go in the office and work. I said, okay. Went to lunch, came back, and forgot about it. And then he came and he put his hands on his hip like he used to do and said, I thought I told you to work in the office after lunch. I said, I forgot. He said, tomorrow, work in the office. And the dream was over. Now, this is the beginning of when the Lord called me to be an apostle. But I didn't realize it yet. Because he put me over other ministers. I said, but I didn't realize what that meant. And then time happened, over the years. I took responsibility. I preached to others as if they were bishops or pastors. The Lord did, God is good. He do things. I didn't know why I did. I did that. I said, everybody I'm ministering to, they're ministers, and they're going to be over others. They're going to be a blessing to people. So I studied, and I went before the Lord to get messages, and I served them with the messages. knowing that they would be over others, pastors and bishops or whatever. And so I learned. And then the Lord told me these things. And it was consistent. And he gave me words for other pastors. And I didn't know why I had to go and give a word to a pastor. But I said I'd obey him, so I did it. I made myself do it. Now, during these days, the Lord would give me a message at home. Sometimes I'd have a dream, sometimes a vision, and I'd go in his presence and he'd put a certain pastor on my heart and give me a written word, prompt me to write a word at home. I knew nothing about what was going on in his life or nothing. Now, most of the words was about following God, because he had taught me, he said, the biggest problem in the church. Now, this was something that the Lord brought to me. I didn't ask for this kind of knowledge. He started talking to me about the church. Now, I didn't know why he started talking to me about the church, but he did. Now, I said, when the Lord tell you to do something, there's an anointing to do it. And because of that anointing, the Lord would give me instructions. And when he'd give me instructions, I'd obey him. And it became normal. But unusual to me, but I was used to it. So he said, the biggest problem in the church is my people don't follow me. And then he gave me revelation about what he meant. All kind of, now this didn't just happen a few weeks. This happened for years. He taught me all the different things about following God that you can imagine. And it was important. But my message would be very simple to me. The message that he would have me to share with pastors were not as in depth as what he taught me about following God. When he give me a word, the word would be simple. How they'll be blessed if they follow God, and what'll happen if they don't, and what'll happen if they obey, what'll happen if they don't obey, and the reasons why they should obey. And not just the word that they, you know, some every denomination has its own spin on the word. They do it, some do it this way, some do it that way. The holiness people love to shout and dance and worship God and pray in tongues and get people healed, and they go to church a lot. Denominational churches, they go to church once or twice a week, and they don't expect healing and miracles and things like that in those days, like the holiness churches. And then the word churches, they teach the word. They big about teaching the word. Like, you know, that's the closest thing that I was. I love God's word, and I was trying to learn more about it, because I love God. And this was also during the charismatic movement. The Holy Spirit started falling on denominational churches and Catholic churches and wherever people wanted the refreshing Holy Ghost of God. So this was in the early 90s by the time the Lord sent me out. And he started training me in 89. And in 1990, he told me to, I've talked about this on these broadcasts many times. He had me to study. He changed my study habit. He's prescribed 15 chapters a day. So I said, I had the vow, so I did it. Every step God gave me, I obeyed. I didn't argue, I obeyed. And I talked about it many, many times on these broadcasts, how when I studied 15 chapters, I had spiritual stamina and a broader understanding of the word. See, every time I obeyed him, something good happened, and that I didn't expect. Now, when he first told me to study the word like he did, I didn't expect nothing. I just doing what he said do. And then I started understanding things greater. I started loving people. My love for people was stronger. My faith was greater. And when I operating in everlasting love, the more I love people, the more I understood that God loved me. All these wonderful things happened for me that I didn't expect. And it continued. So I continued to grow. It was good. And I wanted more. So I asked for more knowledge and wisdom. He gave it to me, but he kept giving me things to do. And he would send me with those messages to help other people. And I would get excited when there was a good word that people would want. But when there was a word of rebuke, you know, some words was a rebuke. I had to rebuke people. I had to tell them that what would happen if they didn't obey God. And I wasn't happy about giving those kind of words. And sometimes it was the people. They might be over a large congregation. And I have to go in there and give the pastor a word that I wrote at home. Now, most of the time, almost every time I wrote a word at home, a written word, and then I give it to him, I go to church, he'd be preaching it. That was my confirmation. A lot of things that he said in his message was in the written word. This happened. This was almost all the time. I got used to it. And I had to make myself do these things because nobody was doing something like that. It wasn't easy for me. But after doing those things, I saw it was important. And the Lord would answer my concerns. I said, Lord, what if they don't listen? He said, what they do, he said, when I give you a word for my people, it's your business to give them the word. And it was clear what he said. And then he said, and what they do with it is not your business. So when it was a word that would really put them over, I would get so excited, and I would pray that they would receive it, and I would want them to, and I'd get excited about it. But they usually did what they wanted to. Now, all these things are true. All these things happen. And I learned so much more from cooperating with God than I ever did in my life. And looking back, I have no regrets. None. I would do it all over again if I had to. Following God is key for many reasons. There are things that I knew would have happened if the people of God would have only obeyed him. See, when you obey God, you are anointed to do this. You have God's ability. All you have to do now is be willing and do it. Not grudging, but willing and do it. Be on fire about it. Be desirous of doing what God wants you to do. And it will work. And people didn't know this. And they're being hard-headed. They missed out on a lot. And I know they did. See, some things God only give, you know, people all, they most people try to get blessed. And they do a lot of squirrely off-color things to get money. But if they would have obeyed God, they wouldn't have had to do all that. Or they wouldn't have even thought that. They wouldn't have been thinking they had to do wrong things to get money. Or off-color things. They put pressure on people to give more, and they promise blessings of God. You know, God will bless if you give to any ministry that's of God. But when you obey God, you have God's ability to perform the task he gave you to do. It doesn't matter what size task it is. And never, if he tells you to do something big, don't look at what you have to do. Look at him. Let him be your focus and do it. I promise you it's going to happen. You'll have the finances when you need the finances. You don't even have to bother about it. Start doing what God said do, and the finances will be attracted to your life. And you don't have to beg, and you don't have to sell stuff. But people who do it that way, they got to beg and sell stuff and send out appeal letters and things like that. But if you obey God, He will send you people. Just like He do when you ask Him a question and you want to learn something, He will send you the answer. He always has sent me the answer. I didn't have to go ask people for my answer. He calls people that I would run into to send me, to give me what I needed to know. And it's the same thing in ministry. Now, I do what God give me to do, and I speak His word, and I do it, and I enjoy it. I enjoy His word. I enjoy obeying Him. I don't have to go out and do squirrely things to get blessed. I am blessed. Now, because of how the word was received, I knew that people weren't going to just help me willing to do the broadcast. It would take God. See, Paul said this way. He said, the day will come where they won't endure sound doctrine. And what God give me is sound doctrine. And this is not what mainstream preaching will do, will say. I thank God for the people who are accurate and they love God's word. But the kind of messages that God give me, I don't hear it from mainstream people. I hear it more from people, from local people who love God like I do. And people that just get saved, these things are new to them. Talking to God is new. Dialoguing with God is new. See, when I studied those 15 chapters, after 3 months, me and the Lord started dialoguing. I started talking to Him and He talked to me. I heard Him. And I talked to Him continually. I talked to Him every day. And He tell me something.